Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Grace Christian Fellowship. Awesome day. I know it's a little rainy, but you know, when it's rainy, we're close together, huh? We can kind of warm up together here. So, Lamentations chapter 3, book we don't normally get into, but the Lord ordered this one. He says, I want you to read this morning. Verse 19 to 26. Remember my affliction and roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fall not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Bow ahead and join me in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we just thank and praise you for this time. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Father. Help us realize that in our spirits the loving care we have of a Father this morning. Our Heavenly Father is looking over each and every one of us, each and every situation in individuals' lives, as a group, as a family. Look to him for everything we need. It starts with him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto us. So help us have our due diligence in that. Be ready for things coming our way. And it says be ready in that a season. So help us do that, Lord God. Help us apply what we're reading in the Word. Communicate with the Father each and every day. Effectual, fervent prayer, righteous man avails much, so we need to be always in communication with that. But also, too, he tells us, too, that in, say, like Psalm 28 as an example, or 45, it says he answers our prayer. Those supplications are received by him, and we need to go forward in that, knowing that he is with us. He will not forsake us. That's one promise. So help us always be dear to you, Lord God, as you're faithful to us. We need you during these times, and we ask you to anoint our pastor, Matt Worrell, his mind, his heart, his tongue, as a word grows through him like rivers of living water. So help us do that, Lord God, and be obedient unto you. And we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen.
We bless you, Lord. We bless the name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. And you, Lord Jesus, are the reason we're here. You're the reason why we open this book on a regular basis, that we read your word. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld your glory.
Yes.
So Lord, help us to just behold your glory this morning. As we get into this message, Lord, this fourth installment of the character of Caleb, I pray, Father, that you will speak to us in Jesus' name. I present to you myself, Lord, just a living vessel. Fill me, Lord, with your word.
Yes, Father. Yeah.
This is not something I can do on my own. I need you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give me just a second here. This dehumidifier is loud, and now it's not. Joshua chapter 14. I'm going to read one more time. Verse 6 through 15. I hope you've been getting a lot out of this these last few weeks. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. That's a mouthful. I've been trying to work through this for the last several weeks. Caleb wholly followed the Lord his God.
Right.
That's the key to this whole series. Do you wholly follow the Lord your God? This message, this series of messages is to challenge us, because every single one of us falls short of his glory,
yes,
don't
we? Yes, we do.
We don't follow him wholly like we should. The word holy that is used here, if you remember, the Hebrew word was malemala. Do you remember what it means? It means to be full of. It means to be fenced in. It means to flow with, to be replenished by, and to be satisfied by. Now, we looked at three of these so far. Excuse me, four of them. To be full of, to be fenced in, and to flow with, three. Caleb was full of God. You remember that? Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you remember what that meant? To be filled with. The Greek word that is used there means to be crammed in, complete, a sense of no room for anything else. That we would have no room for anything else but God in our lives. He will walk with us. He will guide us. We can walk with him in the cool of the day. That was the whole point of Jesus coming back. Not just to give you salvation, but to give you a fellowship with the Father that you could not have before, because he will not have anything to do with sin. And we're sinful people. You know, we still sin and fall short of God's glory. The beauty of the cross is that I can come to him, I can confess my sin, and he is just and faithful and will forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Right. He makes me holy. I can't make myself holy.
Nope.
I just can't.
Nope.
But I can walk in holiness. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen?
Amen.
So to be filled with God meant to be, have no room for anything else in us. We were, and Caleb was fenced in by God. You remember what that meant? Fenced in. We don't like fences. We don't like
boundaries.
Boundaries. Thank you. You know, I want to be free. Well, freedom is dangerous. Liberty will truly set you free, but liberty has boundaries. Caleb was fenced in by God. How was he fenced in? He was fenced in, remember, because he had a vision. He had a vision that he hung on to for 45 years. He was 40 years old when he first was brought to the promised land. And he and Joshua and 10 other spies went in. Joshua and Caleb came back with what? They came back with a vision. They came back with a vision. They saw the promised land. And they said, yes, we can do this. The other 10 said, nope, I ain't doing it. No way. They got giants in the land, and they're bigger than us. Why? Because we're grasshoppers in our sight, therefore we're grasshoppers in their sight. See, we see ourselves as just little peons. Joshua and Caleb saw themselves as mighty men of God.
Right.
Joshua and Caleb understood the power of the Father that they served. And they said, we can do this. In fact, Caleb even said to the other 10, he says, don't do this. You're rebelling against God. You're rebelling against him. He sent us in there so that we can see what he wants to give us, and now you're saying you don't want it? You're rebelling against God. Caleb was fenced in. He had that vision, and he kept that vision for 45 years. That was why he was able to say, you know, to Joshua, give me my land. Give me my inheritance. That's what the father had promised me way back 45 years ago, and you got the authority to give it to me now. Give it to me so I can go in. If the Lord's with me, he's going to walk in there with me, and we're going to take that land. He was fenced in. And Caleb flowed with God. Remember Caleb flowing with God? Caleb's feet only went where God ordered them, and his words always exalted the Lord. Joshua chapter 14, verse 9 says, so Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord your God. See, he flowed with God, and he went where God wanted him to go. But how do you flow with God? How can we flow with God in this day and age? I shared with this. It was last week. You remember there were 4 points. Number one, know his word. Right. Know his word. Say that with me. Know his word. If you don't know his word, you'll never know whether you're being deceived or not. Because this is what teaches you about God. God speaks to you. When I open this book and I sit down I like to study the Word of God. Do you like to study the Word of God? I love to study the Word of God. I also like to just read it for recreational reading. Just to sit down and just read chapter after chapter after chapter. You know when I'm going to share you with a little trick. Anybody here ever suffer from insomnia?
Yeah.
Yeah? I have trouble sometimes getting to sleep at night. Or I can get to sleep real quick because I'm exhausted, but then I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you know, I got to go to the bathroom, and then I can't get back to sleep. You ever go? You lay down, and your eyes go like this. You know, and you're laying there going, this is not fun. Like that, and then you move your fingers, and your eyes go boink, back open again. You can't get back to sleep. You know what I do? I will go out, and I will sit in my chair, turn on the light, put on my glasses, put a pillow across my lap, kick the chair back. I got a lounge chair. You know, it's a double recliner, which is like it's a wonderful place for Kathy and I to sit and spend time together. But I'll sit back 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'll get my Bible out and I'll just start reading. The devil hates that. He absolutely hates it. You know what happens? He starts putting me to sleep. But see, I trick him, because that was the plan all along. That I'm going to go to sleep thinking of the Word of God. And it happened time and time again. I'll be able to fall right asleep. And then after about an hour in my easy chair, I'll wake up for just a minute, usually because of the cat scratching at the door. And I got a choice of whether to deal with the cat or just go to bed. So I go to bed. But I get to sleep. Why? Because I want to know God's Word, even in the middle of the night. Sometimes I have found that it was God that woke me up. And God wants to teach me something in His Word. There have been messages that have been birthed 3 o'clock in the morning at my house while I'm sitting up. And Kathy's sleeping. Oh, she sleeps well. So know His Word, number one. You know, you want to flow with God, know His Word. Number two, know what God is doing. Lay down your own agenda. And that's how you're going to know what God is doing. One of the songs we sang this morning was lay down your own agenda. Lay it down and let the agenda of the Lord govern your feet.
That's right.
Amen? Lay down your own agenda and lay down your own desires.
Yes.
Psalm 37 verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You remember that? We went through that last week. If you will delight yourself in the Lord, truly delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. But what that is saying in the Hebrew is that he will take his desires and place them on your heart. When you truly delight in the Lord, what is delight? But it's just, I am infatuated with him.
Yes.
You know, I'm just infatuated with the Lord. I just hunger for him. I want more of him. I want more of God. I don't want to be just a little... Oh, there was an old commercial years ago. It said, a little dabble, do you? You remember that? Yeah. But that's not God. He don't want you to have just a little dab of him.
No, that's right.
It's all or nothing. Press into the Lord. It's what Paul said. I press on.
Yes.
I press in.
Go forward.
To the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So you got to know His Word. You know God. Know what God is doing. Know God's heart. God wants you to know His heart.
Yes, He does.
And He will reveal His heart to those who will hunger for Him and will truly push in, press into Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, "Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the spirit, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And the fourth was just to be filled with Him. To be filled with God. Filled to the place where He's gushing forth. You remember the water bottles?
Yes.
I had everybody on the front row nervous last week, the last couple of weeks or so. I was going to do it again today, but then I forgot to bring the water bottles up. Oh, well. Be filled with the Spirit. The word filled in John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39, the word flow means to gush forth. It's a gushing forth only comes from one who is filled. And that filling needs to happen on a continual basis. It's not a once in a while thing. I need to press in. I need to be before the Lord. I need to get under the pouring out of His Spirit into my life on a continual basis. If you're not being poured into, you'll have nothing to pour out. Plain and simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. If you are not having the Lord pouring Himself into you, if you're not open up to Him, and I mean by His Word, I'm not saying some supernatural, spiritual stuff. I'm talking plain English, rubber meets the road, nuts and bolts Christianity. Not American Christianity, biblical Christianity. It's a big difference between the two. Biblical Christianity that God's pouring Himself into. I sit down, I was sharing at 3 o'clock in the morning, I open up the Bible to start reading. Almost every time I open this book, I say these words, "Lord, please speak to Your servant. I want to hear Your voice."
Yes.
And He speaks to me through these written word.
Yes, He does.
So I open up the Scriptures with the intent of hearing God's voice. People will say, "I don't ever hear God's voice." And a lot of times that I hear that from people is people don't spend much time in the Word. They may open it up for 5 or 10 minutes once a day or three times a week, whatever, but do you really hunger and thirst for God? Do you really get into His Word that you can devour it? Do you actually take the time to take a verse that seems to jump out at you? Anybody here, you're reading the Word of God, and a verse kind of jumps out at you?
Yep.
You know, you go, "Oh, wow, yep. Why haven't I read that 200 times? I've never seen that before. I never recognized it that way." But what happens with a lot of people, I know none of you do this, but what happens with a lot of people is that happens. They go, "Oh, wow, that was really cool. Thank you, Jesus," and they go on. Challenge you, when God speaks to you on a verse, get yourself a flashcard, 3x5 index card. Write that scripture out. Put the reference down and memorize it. Memorize it. "I don't like memorizing." Well, then you're not putting the power of God into your life. Sometimes relationships take work.
Most,
amen?
Most of the time they do. All the time.
All the time they do. Kathy and I have survived each other for 50 years of marriage. And that survival has been at times just mere survival. And then there have been times where it's like, we're enamored with each other. You know, that happens in marriage. The longer you go, the more you recognize there's times when you're just surviving, there's one time you're tolerating, and there's others you're just absolutely enamored. It's called life. But how do we survive 50 years of marriage? Because we know each other. We listen to each other. How many of you, I know Kathy and I argue. I know none of your marriages, none of you do.
Oh, no.
Right? But Kathy and I have argued.
No.
Right? And here is this is kind of a side note. I won't charge you anything for it, okay? This is just a little key in not just surviving an argument, but allowing the argument to become productive.
Right.
Right? Most people, in the heat of an argument, let's face it, you're right, he's wrong, or she's wrong. Right?
Right.
Am I right?
Right?
I'm right, she's wrong. So when you're listening to her, when I'm listening to her, I'll just keep it personal here. My tendency is to listen to her to hear what I need to hear in order to debate.
Yep.
And you know what debate means? Debate means I'm right, you're wrong. I'm going to debate you, which means I am going to tear you apart somehow, some way. I'm going to win. So I listen for the information I need to rebut. You want to have a productive argument. You listen to the other person to find out how they see this.
Yep.
And why this makes them tick this way. You know what happens? You get to know them a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that happens is you start taking the fire out of the argument. And you start bringing in love. Another thing that we do is to say this. I ask you for my forgiveness, for forgiveness, because my attitude really stunk. Huh?
You missed it. Keep coming, Dave.
David. You know, in setting up things for us to be able to take off for 2 months, to take off, oh, hush up now. I'm preaching right now, okay? So, and I'm sharing right now. David, I just want you to know that as we discussed a few minutes ago out in the sanctuary, out in the fellowship hall, I had to solidify things up. So you are preaching next week, even though I'm probably going to be here, because Lauren has not had her baby yet. That means I'm going to be here while you're preaching. Just forewarning. I'll get you one way or another. No. But to listen to each other for the sake of hearing each other and not afraid to say, even you're right, even if I might feel that I'm right, my attitude stunk.
Amen.
My wife agrees with you.
Remember, Kathy, you go home with me. Caleb, I'm trying to figure out how to dig myself out of this one.
Choking over here.
I do want you to know, I have thoroughly enjoyed most of those 50 years of marriage. We have had difficult times. We've had very stressful times. But the one thing that we do have, and this is what God wants of you for the relationship and the covenant that he has with you. He cut a covenant with you on the cross. Our marriage is just to be a picture of that covenant that Jesus cut on the cross for you and for me. That he gave himself fully and completely to us, and he desires to have the same in return. This is what Caleb did. You know, I wholly followed the Lord my God.
That's right. Yes.
In all aspects. And we sin, we fall short of the glory of God. I'll tell you, Kathy's not the easiest one to live with. She really is not. But you know something? Neither am I. I ask you to please pray for her. She's going to spend 2 months in a camper with me alone. Poor girl. Her hair is going to be even grayer by the time we get back. I'm going to have even less. But we will still come back in love. Why? Because of the covenant. It's not just because of feelings. Please understand this. It's not because of feelings. You approach Christianity in a feeling, touchy-feely way, you're doomed.
Yeah,
you really are. You're doomed. We come because of the cross. And that's the whole point of Caleb. He did not know of the cross. But he did know his God. He did know the power of God. And he did know the covenant that he had with his God. He wholly followed the Lord his God. Now, I've got two more points I want to share with you that's in this. And I'm going to do it in about 15 minutes. Ha-ha.
Okay.
If you believe that.
I don't know.
This is the fourth point. Caleb was replenished by God. Remember the five points? Caleb was full of God, fenced in by God, flowed with God, replenished by God, and satisfied with God. All right, so he was replenished by God. Do you know that? God wants to replenish you.
Yeah.
You know what God has given you? I'm going to list several things that God has already given you. He has given you breath.
That's right.
Every breath you take is a gift from him. When God created Adam, you look at in Genesis chapter 2, he created Adam, and then it says it breathed into him the breath of life. This is what Jesus has given you. It's a breath of life. It's an eternal life that he has given to you through the work of the cross. Hallelujah. He has given you breath. He's given you life. The thief comes not to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you what? Life, and that more abundantly. He's come to give you strength. The word of God says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He came to give you purpose. I have a purpose in him. He came to bring me healing. He has healed me from so many things. What has he healed you from? Anybody want to testify? Just tell in one sentence or less, what has he given? What has he healed you from?
A hole in my heart.
A hole in your heart.
Physically,
right. Hole in your heart, what did he heal you from?
Depression and anxiety.
Depression and anxiety. Hallelujah. What did he heal you from?
Bladder cancer.
Bladder cancer. Whoa, hallelujah. What did he heal you from?
Drug addiction.
What did he heal you from?
Abusive relationships.
What has he healed you from?
Myself.
Yourself. Oh! Amen.
Rescues me.
Amen. Somebody else, has he healed you from?
Depression and low
self-worth. What's he healed you from?
Unforgiveness.
From what?
Unforgiveness.
What's he healed you from?
My sister has something like
sanity.
Well, from what? I'm not going there. All these testimonies.
Yes.
Is an understanding of the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to him, he receives you exactly the way you are, but he loves you so much he's not going to leave you that way. He's going to heal you and set you free. He gives you victory. Victory in Jesus. My Savior forever. He's given you victory. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. He's given me wholeness. The Bible tells me I am complete in him. He's given me faith. He's given me faith. Now, to each one of us is given a measure of faith.
Right.
Who here has faith? You better be raising your hand. Because if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord, the Bible says he's given you a measure of faith. Now you can say, well, I don't have very much faith at all. I've just got a little tiny bit of faith. I haven't got a big faith like you do, Pastor. Give me a break. You know? Doesn't matter whether you have a little or a lot. The fact is, are you going to exercise what you have? Because what you have is enough.
Amen.
Wednesday night in the men's group, we had a teaching by... Who was it? Tony Evans. And he talked about faith. And he said, you know, it's not a question of whether you have a lot or a little faith. The question is, what are you putting your faith in?
Oh, boy. Come on.
Hebrews 11:1 says what? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of that which is not seen. So what are you putting your faith in? That will determine the power of the faith. Are you putting it into something that's substantive? Or are you putting it into something that's selfish? Are you putting it into something that holds a value to God? Or are you putting it into something that holds value to you alone? You have faith. How are you exercising it? All right? He's given us faith. He's given us provision. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen?
Right.
He supplies. But in that scripture, it says that in his provision, he was saying it to the Philippian church because they were givers. They weren't just takers. They were givers. So he said, because you give to my ministry, because you give to the work of the Lord, my God will supply your need. Why? Because you're being used by God to supply needs of others. If you're not being used by God to supply needs of others, then you're running on your own strength. You're running on your own strength. So he's given us provision. He's given us friendship. He doesn't say, you're my... He said, I'm no longer going to call you my servant. I'm going to call you my friend. I'm a friend of God. Wow. He considers me as his friend. Let that sink in. He's given me authority. He's given me the name of Jesus, which brings authority.
Yes, exactly.
He's given me power. In Acts chapter 1 and 2, talks about the power of God coming upon those 120 that were in the upper room. And that power of God was released in Jerusalem. And these people came out, and they're speaking in tongues, and they're praising God, and they're preaching. And even the others that were there from all over the world were there in all these different languages, and they're saying, I don't understand this. They even talk in my own language. Why? Because God wants to use them and empowered them to preach the gospel in an unknown tongue. Hallelujah. And you know something? My Bible tells me that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he's still doing that. He's given us authority. He's given us power. He's given me forgiveness. He's forgiven me of so many things. I've shared with you a lot of the things that I've done. And I dare tell you, there's some things I've done I still won't share with you. And he's forgiven me of it all. Every last bit of it. Whether you do or not, it's your business. But he's forgiven me, and that's what counts. And he has given me an anointing. He has given you an anointing. These are things that God has given us. And Caleb came to be replenished by God. All of these things God had given Caleb, but Caleb understood a couple of things. He understood what to be replenished was. Remember the bottles? And one was empty, and I had to pour into the other one. You had to be poured into. I've shared with that a few minutes ago about if you're not having God being poured into you, you have nothing to be pouring out. Oh, this is the one with a hole in it. Oh, well, that's right. It does. No, I'm not going to do it. If God's not being poured into you, then you've got nothing to be poured out. Now, I did a little bit of a word study on that word replenish. It means the act of filling something up again by replacing what has been used. That's what replenish means. It means to be the act of filling something up again by replacing what has been used. Now, I looked up synonyms for that, and this was really cool. The synonyms for replenish was refill, refresh, restock, restore, Or, I like this one, reload. I stopped and looked at that. I like that. Because, you know, I like guns. You know, I love shooting. I think it's really cool. And one of the one things that I'm out on the pistol range out back here, and I fire a full magazine out, and it goes click. Reload. Reload. Got to reload in order to continue. See, you have to reload. There was I was looking for a clip to show you on reload, and I was watching this short clip on a movie called Fury. Anybody ever watch that movie? I watched this one clip, and they're in the tank, and the Germans are coming at them like crazy, and the tank was busted, but all the guns were still working. And this one kid, he was probably 18, 19 years old, he's in by the machine gun inside the tank, and he's bang, 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 bang. He's just cutting the Germans down like crazy, bang, 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 and all of a sudden, click. And he hollers out at the top of his lungs, reload, which means I need another 10. The enemy's coming in. He's fumbling, trying to open it up, get it, and put the new belt in, close it up, cock the gun, and start shooting again. Reload! He said at the top of his lungs, reload! He's letting everybody know he's out right now, but he's back in the mix in just a minute. Reload. So that's what Kathy and I are going to be doing for 2 months, reloading. Reloading so we can get back in the mix. Fully charged, fully loaded, ready to go. Reload. Caleb was replenished by God. Listen to me. A Christian that walks around depleted will eventually be completely defeated. You hearing me? A Christian that walks around depleted will eventually be completely defeated. And I see Christians walk away from the faith. Ones that appeared strong. Ones that appeared like they had it all together as far as a Christ-centered man or woman goes. And then watch them very slowly start drifting away. You know why they drifted away? They didn't reload. They didn't take a time. Listen, it's good. It's okay to take a vacation. You know that? It's good. Jesus oftentimes pulled back and he disappeared into the wilderness to be by himself with the Lord. Why? So he could reload. The man was pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. But he knew that what he needed to do was get back before the Lord and reload. Amen. So can you do that? Take that time to reload. And the fifth thing about Caleb was he was satisfied with God. This is the last point of this series. He was satisfied with God. Look at verse 12 with me of Joshua chapter 14. Verse 12 says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." As the Lord said. Caleb was satisfied with God. He had faith in God's power. Remember what I said earlier? Your faith is not whether you got a lot or a little, but what do you place it in? Where is the substance? See, Caleb had faith in God's power. He put faith in something that had substance to it, the power of God. Caleb had faith in God's presence. It says right here, you know, in here, as the Lord said, you know, God was with him. He had faith in God's promises. What did he promise? It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. He said, give me this mountain of the Lord has spoken. He spoke it 45 years ago. He said it, this is going to be mine. And he said it 45 years ago. It's still true today.
That's right.
Listen to me. If God has given you a promise and hasn't come to pass yet, don't give up.
That's right.
Don't give up. He will bring it to pass in his time. The question is, are you going to have the faith to trust him for his timing? See, we try to rush God. This world is in a panic now, in a big mess now, because Abraham rushed it. Decided to, and his wife said, you know, you and I, we're not having kids right now, so why don't you have a kid with my handmaiden? And Abraham went, okay. And he went in to her. And we've been in a mess ever since. Because that's where the whole thing with, with the Jews and the Arabs came from, was through that mix, through that mess. Why? Because they hurried God up instead of waiting for God. Listen, if God has given you a promise, He will bring it to pass.
He will.
It's up to us to just trust Him in that.
That's right.
All right. He had faith in God's promises. He had faith in God's ability to use him. Oh, it got real quiet.
Yeah.
He had the faith in God's ability to use him to take that promised land. And there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that don't get involved in what God is doing in the ministry that they're in because they don't feel that they can be used. I can't do that. I used to say that about preaching. I ain't doing that. And then I had a pastor, his name is Howard Powell. And he came, and I was a deacon. And deacons are pretty cool, you know, because they don't have to preach. They want to, a lot of them do want to, you know, but they don't have to. And I was a deacon, so I'm safe. I'm not an elder, you know, and I'm safe. And then Pastor Howard came to a leadership meeting. He says, I've made the decision that we're going to have Sunday night services, and all of you are going to share your testimony at each one. And Matthew, you're going to start next Sunday. I almost quit being a deacon right there. But I did. I faced the fear. Listen to me. If you don't feel that you can do it, chances are God's tapping on your shoulder. Because he's asking you to do something you can't on your own. Which means you're going to have to trust him. So are you going to put your faith in him? Or are you going to put faith in yourself? Because if you put faith in yourself, you miss the point. Faith is the substance of what we hope for. I want to take my faith and put it in something substantive.
Yes.
And that is what the will of God is. It's substantive. Amen?
Amen?
So he had faith in God's ability to use him. He had faith in God's direction. 45 years ago, we came to this promised land. And now here we are, back here again. God is good.
He is, all the time.
And Caleb said, basically he said in that, I never forgot. I kept focused. And that focus is what has been driving me these whole 45 years. You think of this. For 45 years, they're in the wilderness. 40 years, they're in the wilderness. And he's watching all of these people that refuse to go into the promised land. He's watching them die one after another, after another, after another. Because all that were brought to the promised land were 20 years were under 21 years old at the time that they first came.
Caleb and Joshua.
All those who were 21 years old and older died except for Joshua and Caleb. Why? Because those two trusted God and were willing to trust God. And they were brought back to the promised land.
Yes.
And Caleb said, I'm just as strong now as I was back then.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Give me my inheritance. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. You have given us an inheritance. But yet I also know, Lord, that that inheritance can only be found through the cross. That inheritance can only be realized in our relationship with you. Jesus, you died on the cross for me. I wasn't worth it. I had defiled myself so much. But you saw a worth that me and nobody else could see. And you shed your blood for me. And I am forever grateful. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, church. Let's stand. And I pass this blessing upon you as I do each week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and then he give you peace. Peace only Jesus can give. This world cannot give peace. It cannot give peace. But you will find that peace as you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Yes. As you press into the Lord. And the more you press in, the more turmoil may come your way. But his peace will sustain you.
Yes, it will.
Thank you, Lord.